You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. It's just about 8 o'clock, although this is pre-recorded because I'm not allowed on the station, or the, into the station yet, in campus, because COVID. Anyway, you just heard Mortal Vision, a band from Ukraine, new release on Redefining Darkness, entitled Mind Manipulation. Knife before that, from Germany, with the new release, self-titled. That was a track, Inside the Electric Church. Portrait before that, from Sweden, off of their fifth full-length record, entitled At One With None. Scaffold before that, from Serbia. They are on Satanath Records, a new album called Codex Gigas. And start off that set with Fate's Hand, from Australia, new EP on Dying Victims Productions. Anyway, you will listen to Show TV of Human Name, be on till 9 o'clock. Speck Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT. Speck Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Speck Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Speck Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about ordering online SpackBros.com and you receive a text message when food is ready to pick up. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK. Visit the website at SPAKBrothers.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. This next band is called Sex Mag. I'm gonna make it. Is Mark G of the Evolution Control Committee, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, where the drunken pants are going wild.
All right, let's start with some international news today. I was not initially going to talk about this today, but I got emails about it over the weekend and read a bunch of articles this morning. And there's really like a bigger story here in what's going on in Europe globally, or the impact of the global impact of what we start to see in Europe and Germany. You know, we've had this backstory ever since the election of Donald Trump about German Chancellor Angela Merkel becoming effectively the leader of the free world. Now, as many I should mention every time I talk about this, that's not an actual position. It's sort of a colloquial designation often assigned to the president of the United States. When Donald Trump was elected, it was so humiliating, he was so pathetic, that the consensus, we could say, plurality of the consensus was that Angela Merkel had become the leader of the free world, longstanding German chancellor. We then more recently learned that she would not be up for re-election. And we now are sort of looking to Germany, in a sense, as a referendum on this authoritarian rightward shift that we've seen in much of Europe and around the world. Of course, in places like Hungary and others in Europe, but also the Duterte-style stuff, Putin, as well as, Bolsonaro, etc. So we are starting to get news from Germany, and it's actually looking very, very interesting for social democracy. German social democrats beat conservatives in vote to decide Merkel's successor. Social democrats, SPD, ahead in projected results. SPD's Scholz claims clear mandate for pragmatic government, but conservative Laschet also vows to seek coalition. As I mentioned, Chancellor Angela Merkel not seeking a fifth term. This is from Reuters. Germany's Social Democrats narrowly won Sunday's national election, projected results showed, and claimed a, quote, clear mandate to lead a government for the first time since 2005, and to end 16 years of conservative-led rule under Angela Merkel. Now, I wouldn't criticize you if you wrongly thought that Angela Merkel was a centrist or on the left. There's no question that compared to American right-wing nuts, Merkel seems quite moderate. But by European standards, by German standards, Merkel was and is a conservative, and this would be a decided shift. The center-left Social Democrats were on track for 26% of the vote, ahead of the 24.5% for Merkel's CDU-CSU conservative bloc. Both groups believed they could lead the next government. With neither major bloc commanding a majority and both reluctant to repeat their awkward grand coalition of the past 4 years, the most likely outcome is a three-way alliance led by either the Social Democrats or Merkel's conservatives. So we don't yet know the answer as to who will actually be in charge there. Agreeing a new coalition could take months and will likely involve the smaller Greens and liberal Free Democrats. Social Democrats Chancellor candidate Olaf Scholz says we are ahead in all the surveys now, adding, it is an encouraging message and a clear mandate to make sure that we get a good, pragmatic government for Germany. The SPD's rise heralds a swing left for Germany and marks a comeback for the party, which has recovered some 10 points in support in just 3 months to improve on its 20.5% from the 2017 election. We don't yet know what this portends bigger picture for Europe. We just don't. But if we are hoping that the authoritarian right-wing slide of the 2012 to 2018 and 19 phase is going to be pulled back against, that we're going to go back in the opposite direction, certainly this is something of an auspicious sign. Now, whether other countries go in the same direction and whether there will be any actual progress made in Germany, if indeed Olaf Scholz ends up being the chancellor, very, very much remains to be seen. But what we're hoping for, and again, we're putting these things together without actually knowing whether they are related as part of some bigger package of change. If we continue to see these humiliations in the U.S. for the right, the humiliation in California with the recall, Trump regularly being humiliated, you know, we've been talking about these things. If we start to see this push in the other direction, and we also start to see a rejection of the rising far-right nationalism in Europe, of which Merkel was not a part, but still going Merkel to Social Democrats would be a good sign, we may enter what some have been hoping to be a new progressive era 100 years later. Remember, the progressive era in the United States started at the very end of the 19th century and went into the 20s. We've talked about that really important historical period before. And of course, my hope as a Social Democrat is that we would be soon entering a new progressive era. Could all of these little data points be starting to signal in that direction? Maybe. Remains to be seen. One other article I wanted to look at. CNN reporting, SPD narrowly wins German election against Merkel's CDU, but uncertainty remains over over next leader. Germany's left-leaning SPD will begin negotiations to form a ruling coalition after preliminary results showed the party narrowly winning the largest share of parliamentary seats following Sunday's federal election. With all 299 of the electoral districts reporting, SPD won 25.7% of the vote, beating out the Christian Democratic Union, the centrist-right conservative party of outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel, which posted record losses by taking just 24.1%, but uncertainty over who the next leader will be. One other thought on Merkel, again, because so many see her as basically center-left. In the U.S., we're so used to seeing these right-wingers be anti-science, coming from the world of business or law, governing very much with their religion in play. What I think maybe led some Americans to see Merkel as more center-left is that her background as a scientist and her relatively consistent record of keeping religion out of governance to some degree, although we could debate that, it doesn't feel like the right-winger-ism that we've become accustomed to in the United States. And so that's why, you look at someone like Louis Gohmert, you know, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then you see Merkel. Merkel seems left-wing compared to them. I understand that. But Merkel, part of the CDU, certainly not a left-wing party. Good signs from these early results in Germany. We're going to continue following what sort of coalition gets put together, and also whether this is a sign of things to come in other European countries. A bunch of people have asked me to comment about an article written by CNN's Brian Stelter yesterday. And Stelter is not a guy that I particularly follow, but sometimes he says interesting things, and I think that this is really an interesting article. The idea here of what Brian Stelter is arguing is that these new unhinged appearances and interviews and rallies that Donald Trump is doing are a sign of some kind of big storm brewing again, that there's multiple factors here and that there could be some kind of perfect storm, in a sense, between Trump and Trump's followers in the Republican Party and other just opportunists in the Republican Party. Let's take a look at a little bit of the article. Stelter writes, "I watched Donald Trump's entire interview with One American News propagandist Dan Ball, and the quote that stood out the most is, 'Our country will not survive this.' Trump was in the middle of a fact-free rant about vicious Democrats cheating on elections when he said, 'They're destroying our country. Our country will not survive this. Our country will not survive.' Then he sniffed and shifted to immigration, saying, 'Look where they're coming from,' clearly mimicking the great replacement theory that Tucker Carlson has been mainlining into homes across the country. These are all signs of the gathering storm. Trump's incessant lies about the last election, 'Biden didn't get 81 million votes, there's no way,' pose obvious threats to future elections. The so-called Stop the Steal movement is racing forward, ignoring the Arizona audit humiliation. Most of us can feel the instability in the air, the same way a forecaster can feel a storm coming on. News outlets need to be providing storm warnings, but some are ignoring the threat. That's what, okay, so he talks about his opening essay. He points, so far, this is pretty good. Stelter also points out that the right-wing media, with few exceptions, is a safe space for the big lie. That's according to Timothy Snyder. That's absolutely true. There has not been a real concerted effort, other than the minimum needed to avoid legal problems, to say, Biden won. That's it. All of this other stuff is not true. Stuff about voting machines, stuff about bamboo fibers and barbecue sauces and various dressings on ballots and the ballots being cured or sauteed or smoked. You know, I'm exaggerating, but none of this stuff is even, there's no evidence for any of this stuff. Going on to talk about, does Brian Stelter, Liz Cheney says many of her colleagues in the Republican Party privately agree with her that this election lie stuff just looks very bad for Republicans. The idea being these Republicans are going along with this stuff even though they don't believe it at all. And then the big picture, according to Stelter, is that democracy is in the midst of a grave recession, and points to Hungary, Poland, and Venezuela, countries that are no longer really democratic, although they purportedly hold elections. So I think that I don't find Stelter's writing to be particularly compelling, and I don't find his commentaries to be particularly interesting. But I do think that he's pointing to some broader truth that can't be denied, at least as a possibility. Trump himself is a narcissist to the absolute highest degree. The election loss hurt him in a way that a non-narcissist can barely understand. I've been reading about it to try to understand how Trump gets to this point where he does the things he's been doing, but it's hard for non-narcissists to really understand what's going on in Trump's brain. And in addition, the idea of people not paying attention to Trump is very, very scary to him as a narcissist. That's Trump. On the follower side, you have really low information, radicalized Trumpists that are in a sense enamored with Trump as this narcissistic egomaniac. I don't think we're exaggerating if we say many of them are willing to die, would be willing to die for Trump, would be. Not that that's going to be a situation that presents itself for 99.999% of them. Although, I mean, you know, look at January 6th. It's not merely hyperbolic or theoretical to say a Trumpist might die for Trump in some sense. So you put all of this together and then you combine it with a Republican Party that, even if we grant, Adam Kinzinger has said it, Liz Cheney has said it, a couple of them have said, privately, almost nobody agrees with this stuff. Like Kinzinger, I think, said there's a couple people. In my mind, I'm thinking he was talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever else. If they are right, what that means is it's not that we say, well, at least the Republican Party is sane because behind the scenes they don't believe this stuff. No, 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 no. They're the worst class of political opportunists we can imagine because behind the scenes they don't believe it, and yet they allow all of this stuff to continue. And in some cases, they actually signal boost it and help it continue. That combination, narcissistic Trump, enamored, egomaniac, low-information Trump supporters who will do whatever he says and fall for whatever, and then a Republican Party that whatever they believe privately isn't getting in the way of what Donald Trump is doing, that is a very disturbing situation. And you could see circumstances in which, if they do well in 22, if they take the House, they're almost certainly impeaching Joe Biden without question. He won't get convicted in the Senate, but almost certainly. And it may be the exact boost to what we are hoping is a dying movement in Trumpism. Doing well in 22 could be the exact type of boost that will make 23 to 25, that legislative session, crazier than even what was going on under Obama. When they 63 times voted to eliminate Obamacare, when they had the House and Obama was president, we said, what a waste of time. This is crazy. That will be nothing compared to what we will see from January of 23 to January of 25 if they take the House, partially because of what they'll do, but partially because of the energy boost it will give to people like Trump and others who will be thinking about 2024. So Stelter's pretty spot on here. I don't know that I would tell the story the way he tells it. I think I would look at maybe some other indicators, but there very well may be a storm brewing, and these are the exact worst people that we would want running the weather satellites, so to speak, when that storm is brewing. Agree with me, disagree with me, let me know. You can find me on Twitter at @dpacman. Remember, the David Pakman Show is primarily made possible by people like you, people who sign up at joinpakman.com. We do a daily show every day just for our members, the bonus show. You can get instant access by signing up on the website. And you can use the coupon code DystopianRally today to get a huge discount. What am I talking about? Well, Donald Trump actually held a rally in Georgia on Saturday. We did a live stream on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. And he actually sort of had some new material for once. You know, these Trump rallies have been the exact same material for a very long time. Communists and Marxists are taking over. The country is ruined unless you elect me, unless you re-elect me, unless you put me back in office, as the sort of shifting narrative has been. No one's making money anymore. You know, under Biden, you'll have to flush toilets 10 to 15 times. Hillary did bad stuff. The crowd chanting, lock her up, like a time machine back to the year 2015. So it was a lot of repetition, but he decidedly and notably added that we need to take our country back by winning in 2022. We predicted this. You predicted this. We all predicted this when we wondered, how long is this going to go on, right? In December, the Supreme Court will say it was actually Trump who won. It'll be overturned in January, and then January became March, which became April or August or, you know, whatever. We knew that eventually it would be, well, the midterms are coming up, and the way to take it back is just to win in 2022. That shift seems to have started, and we saw Donald Trump on Saturday start to focus on the midterms, in addition to calling Joe Biden a son of a bitch. Okay, we're going to get to that. Yes, a former president calling a current president a son of a bitch. It was deranged. It was loony. It was humiliating. It was pathetic. But this is a political movement with power, at least for right now. And they are shifting to 2022, and they could win in 2022. Trump praised the Border Patrol agents seen whipping Haitian migrants with horse reins. Remember, they said they weren't whips, so they weren't being whipped. Well, you could whip someone with a horse rein, and that's what they did. This is the exact type of rhetoric that fueled the El Paso shooter during Trump's presidency. Take a look.
Tens of thousands of illegal immigrants have overrun our borders in recent days while laughing in the faces of our Border Patrol agents. And they're going after the riders of the horses, not the people that came in illegally. Isn't that incredible? And they've just put them under watch. They're in big trouble, the riders of those horses. Most people would say they were doing one hell of a job, right? Don't you think? They're in trouble. Can you believe it?
So, ramping up the red meat, the crowd tuning in and out as they often do during these rallies, but really loving that type of stuff. And then Trump going very quickly into 2022. This is the new thing. Starting to talk about 2022 and Pelosi and more. This is the shift we predicted. This is the shift we've been waiting for. It's happening now.
Georgia is going to be a central battleground in our fight to rescue our beloved nation. We have great, great people running. Many of them are right here. Hello, Marjorie. With your help, we're going to take back the House and send Nancy Pelosi back to San Francisco, where she can work very hard to bring back a city which she has helped to very much destroy, just like they're destroying our nation. They're destroying our nation. We're going to fire your ultra-left-wing Senator Ralph Warnock and elect the great Herschel Walker to the United States Senate. And we're going to take back our country from these lunatics.
Now, of course, the question really should be, what happened to getting back in, right? The lawsuits, the fundraising, it was going to be December, January, March, April. That's just gone? I guess it is. Predictably so, but no questions being asked about what happened to all of that taking it back now stuff. Now, you might have thought, now that the Arizona audit showed that Joe Biden actually won Arizona by even more than originally reported, that Donald Trump would ease up on the voter fraud stuff. But no, Trump never does that. Trump never says, I joked with the live audience, guys, do you think Trump is going to say, hey, we got the real Arizona audit results? And it turns out Biden did win. I was wrong. Sorry about that. I was wrong. Biden did win. Of course not. Of course not. And Trump doubled down, and he actually floated the idea without any evidence whatsoever that maybe Barack Obama didn't really win in 2012.
And most presidents go down in the second term. Even if they win, they go down. Obama went down, way down. But he won. Well, I don't know. Maybe he won. Who the hell knows if he won? Nowadays, with these elections, who knows if he won? But he went down a lot. And he won.
So, of course, there's no evidence of that. But this is the game. If you're not sure who won 2012 as a Republican, then maybe Donald Trump really did win in 2020. That's kind of like the base level game that's being played here. And sadly, it has worked to capture the minds of tens of millions of these Trumpists. And unfortunately, you know, Sam Harris actually had a very good piece. He got a question from a viewer about, hey, why don't you have on like Brett Weinstein and some of these people talking about ivermectin and all this stuff and debate them? And Sam made a really interesting point. Whatever you think about Sam Harris's politics, he said the problem with these debates where you have like a contrarian is that at any time they can say, but what about X? X could be anything. And if you don't know about X, to a lot of these folks that have fallen for the big lie, it comes off as, whoa, you're not ready to rebut X? Then the conspiracy theorist must be right. And this is why, as Trump went further and further into stuff and said, hey, you know, there were 5,000 people about whom there was no record, for example, which is like really vague language. If you're not immediately ready with an answer, the types of folks that go to these rallies go, wow, 5,000 people with no record that they were supposed to be voting in that county. I don't even know what that means, but nobody's rebutting it. So it furthers these conspiratorial beliefs. So it's very hard to kind of like put them back in the bottle, for lack of a better term. Trump even then mentioned, and this is just red meat, right, that he's never actually conceded 2020. Now, remember, concession is a mere formality, but it's another reminder to fire up the big lie people and the people who think maybe Trump will come back. Take a look.
Sir, a great pollster. So we got 63 million. He said, sir, if you go up 1 million votes, you can't lose. Well, we went up 12 million votes, and they say we lost. But there never has been... You know, there never has been a concession. You do know that, right?
The crowd, including the strategically placed blacks for Trump who were on stage right behind Trump, really reacting to that one, as you could tell. The crowd tuning out for large portions of this, but getting pulled back in by xenophobia, getting pulled back in by the stuff about voter fraud, as Trump calls it. Now, in this next clip, Donald Trump actually admits that he called Brian Kemp in Georgia after the election and asked him to do a new election, a so-called special election, just because why not, right? Maybe Trump would have won that one instead of Joe Biden.
News. But I said to these young people, let me handle it. I was going to show them how good I am. Let me handle it. I'll call them up. I said, Brian, listen, you know, you have a big election integrity problem in Georgia. I hope you can help us out and call a special election, and let's get to the bottom of it for the good of the country. Let's get to the bottom of it for the good of your state. Let's go. Election integrity. What could be better than that? Sir, I'm sorry. I cannot do that. Whoa.
Now, Kemp was right. You can't just say, I don't know, let's do another election because you don't like the results, sir. You can't do that. Kemp was right. Trump mentions Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. the crowd starts chanting, lock them up, and Trump says, yeah, we should look at that.
Officials also took $45 million from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg to fund election-related activities. Well, they should be looking at that. What is that all about?
So completely dystopian, completely authoritarian. I am increasingly convinced that Facebook is a net negative for society, but lock up Mark Zuckerberg. It's the same type of authoritarian stuff that they claim to be for law and order and due process, except when it's the Trump rioters subjected to that process, they say, oh, no, just let them out and, you know, whatever. And then when it's someone they don't like Mark Zuckerberg, just lock them up. Lock them up. What crime is even suspected of, guys? Trump also tried claiming that the Arizona so-called audit, which, remember, it confirmed that Joe Biden won, actually says Trump won. It's all lies. Take a look.
Yesterday, we also got the results of the Arizona audit, which were so disgracefully reported by those people right back there in the headlines claiming that Biden won. That Biden won are fake news and a very big lie. You know, they like to, you ever notice when they write about that, they would say, while the election results are a big lie.
Even the biased audit confirmed that Joe Biden won. And we're gonna talk about that. Trump then called for Arizona's 2020 results to be, quote, decertified. Sir, they just confirmed you lost. What are you talking about, decertification?
The total decertification. It is clear in Arizona that they must decertify the election. You heard the numbers. And those responsible for wrongdoing must be held accountable. It was a corrupt election.
Trump is the one responsible for the wrongdoing, and he should be held accountable, without a doubt. No Trump rally is really complete without some glitches and short-circuiting. Trump short-circuited on the word obliterating, came up with obliterizing, just a little bit of the flavor and color.
But Joe Biden is obliterizing. He's just obliterating.
Yeah. And then he also had a doozy of a time with military installations, which I guess instantations is the way he sees them.
Military institutions and their installations, and they have a lot of things surrounding.
Maybe he meant instantiation. Somehow I don't really think so. And then the former president also claiming that people are finally starting to say Merry Christmas. The truth is no one really stopped. This is just that culture war stuff, but he did pull that out as well.
That too much. And you know, they are starting to say very strongly, Merry Christmas. Remember when I first ran? I said, you're going to say Merry Christmas. They're all saying Merry Christmas again. We better move fast because that'll end also like everything else.
Yeah, so again, the very interesting trend is we've talked about how the Republican Party has been totally devoid of policy for at least as long as Donald Trump has been at the forefront. You can tell in the reactions of the crowd, they get bored when Trump reads numbers or when he goes into anything that could be considered remotely policy-oriented, of which there's very little. It's not even really policy. It's just like lies about the policies you're ascribing to others. The crowd tunes out. They're interested in xenophobic stuff about it was great that the migrants were being whipped. They tune into voter fraud stuff. And they tune into the culture war stuff. We will say Merry Christmas, or we've been saying it, thanks to me, or whatever. And then, like I said at the top, yeah, Donald Trump referred to Joe Biden as a stupid son of a bitch. Take a look.
Very hard, and they understood that. That's why I told you before, 18 months we didn't have one soldier killed, and even Biden said that. It was a mistake. He said, well, I will say that no soldiers have been killed in 18 months. And his people are screaming at him, don't say that, you stupid son of a bitch.
So again, the crowd really loving it, just absolutely loving that. So a wild rally. And listen, for now, it's clear Trump's going to be involved in 2022, depending on who wins and loses, depending on whether Republicans are seen as being strengthened by the midterms or further weakened. He will stay involved before that. We don't know yet. It remains to be seen. But there's lots and lots of work to do. And I do, to some degree, coincide with the Brian Stelter article we looked at earlier. I think all of this together, the resurgence of the rally, the Trump interviews, the escalated conspiracy theories being spread related to the election now that we're closer. I mean, listen, we're almost a year out, guys. I do think there's something brewing here. It may just be some really low information way to try to win the midterms. I don't know yet, but we're going to keep following it. And we'll have more on this on our Instagram, which you can find at David Pakman Show. All right, let's get into some interesting news items from the weekend. The most interesting and the biggest one, and the one that has the most sort of comical implications, is that they finished the audit in Arizona. Now, I'm not even sure whether I should be using the term audit because it wasn't really an audit, but what was being described as an audit in Arizona meant to uncover, depending on your beliefs, that Joe Biden didn't really win and that Donald Trump really did, has finished. And it found not only did Joe Biden win, he actually won by a larger margin. His margin of victory actually expanded. So let's look at some of the reporting on this. You might think, well, this is the end, right? This is the, no. They now want more audits. They want another audit in Arizona. They want another audit elsewhere. And we'll look at a hilarious second article which points out the point of these audits is not exactly clear. So, Associated Press, Republican Review finds no proof Arizona election stolen from Trump. That's, we could stop there, but the details are actually even funnier. A Republican-backed review of the 2020 presidential election in Arizona's largest county ended Friday without producing proof to support former President Donald Trump's false claims of a stolen election. This is maybe my favorite news paragraph of the last 6 months. After 6 months of searching for evidence of fraud, the firm hired by Republican lawmakers issued a report that experts described as riddled with errors, bias, and flawed methodology. Still, even that partisan review came up with a vote tally that would not have altered the outcome, finding that Biden won by 360 more votes than the official results certified last year. Okay, it was biased. It was partisan. It may not even have been an audit, but they came up with a final number, and it's Joe Biden actually won by 360 more than what the results were in November. Now, when you look at the actual margin, and then you compare it to 360 votes, it's irrelevant. Okay, the article goes on to say the finding was an embarrassing end to a widely criticized and at times bizarre quest to prove allegations that election officials and courts have rejected. It has no bearing on the final certified results. Previous reviews of the 2.1 million ballots by nonpartisan officials, professionals that followed state law, have found no significant problem with the vote count in Maricopa County, home to Phoenix. Biden won the county by 45,000 votes, key to his 10,500 vote win of Arizona. This was why they focused on Maricopa, because if Maricopa is big enough population-wise that if it was really wrong, it could have flipped the election results. Of course, there was never a reason to think that the results were really wrong. For many critics, the conclusions presented at the hearing Friday by the firm Cyber Ninjas, it's crazy that this is the world we live in. Okay, Cyber Ninjas, underscored the futility of the exercise, which has helped fuel skepticism about the validity of the 2020 election and spawned copycat audits nationwide. Now, you might think it's over now. It's not. There is another article from the Associated Press from the day after these results, from Saturday. Explainer, as Arizona election audit ends, new ones begin. The most closely watched attempt by Republicans to examine the 2020 presidential election in a battleground state lost by former President Donald Trump is coming to an embarrassing end in Arizona, but their efforts are cranking up elsewhere. The most recent is in Texas. We'll talk about this on the bonus show, where the Secretary of State's office announced Thursday it would conduct a full and comprehensive audit, forensic audit, of the 2020 election in four counties. This is my favorite. These reviews go by various names, audits or investigations, sometimes with the word forensic attached. But their scope is not always well-defined or understood, even by those pushing them. which is true. Sometimes you'll talk to the people involved and they'll say, we don't really know what the mechanism is where what we would uncover would really change anything, but we're doing it. Critics say they really have one goal, to validate Trump's baseless claims that widespread fraud cost him the election, regardless of what the reviews might find. So this is the humiliating end of the much publicized Arizona audit. Now, we already talked earlier about at his rally on Saturday. If you were waiting for Trump to say, hey guys, you know what? I asked for an audit. They did the audit. Turns out Joe Biden really won. If you were waiting for that, if you were holding your breath for that, you're probably running out of breath right now. Of course he didn't do that. He said, actually, the audit results show I really, really won. Just a total and total complete liar. Will Sommer, who has been a guest on our show, has been covering this and actually tweeted, Arizona audit backers have been distancing themselves for weeks, saying you can't really find fraud in a recount. Or, as in the case of Michael Flynn, posting this bizarre letter from We the People demanding the Arizona Senate consider reports from even bigger kooks than cyber ninjas. It was never going to find anything. There was nothing to find based on the evidence we had, but it was never going to find anything unless they just straight up lied. So what's next? It's over, right? No. Now they're moving on to Texas. We'll talk about that on the bonus show. I have to tell you, this is just a hilarious story. Rudy Giuliani, or Giuliani, depending on your preference, he apparently has been banned from Fox News for a while now. There's a Rolling Stone article. Rudy Giuliani whines about Fox News ban to Steve Bannon. Rudy is apparently very hurt over getting booted from a network who's facing a $1.6 billion lawsuit because of the former mayor's remarks. It appears that this is sort of like an informal ban of Rudy from Fox News, because the stuff that he spent months saying on Fox News and other networks since the election of 2020 have gotten Fox News and other media outlets into a lot of trouble. During the taping of the War Room podcast on Friday, Bannon asked Giuliani how the network could put him on double secret probation, particularly over 9/11. There's no reason to include his son Andrew, Rudy Giuliani said. Let's take a look at the video clip. By the way, this video is crazy because Rudy talks about being banned from Fox News, but as like a secondary layer of insanity, Steve Bannon says that the electors from, I guess, Arizona are going to be decertified. The electors are not going to be decertified. I don't even know what that means. But then Rudy complains about being banned on Fox News. Like, what Bannon says is crazy for its own segment, quite frankly. Let's take a look.
Rudy Giuliani, and look at it now. The mock and ridicule. Okay, they ain't going to be mocking and ridiculing when the criminal referrals come out, and also, wait for it, decertification. These elections and these electors are going to be decertified. Okay? As sure as the turning of the earth, they're going to be decertified. And I understand up on Capitol Hill, the Democrats don't like that. I'm sorry. That's just a fact. And every day we're grinding and we're not backing off. Rudy, how can Fox News put you on double secret probation, particularly over 9/11, and also include your son, who I think is running for the governorship in New York?
Yes,
how does that work?
I mean, there's no, there'd be no reason to include Andrew. But in any, I mean, gee, they do a pretty good separation between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Gosh, you know, it's outrageous. But the fact is that every single thing that I said about Arizona is right here.
So it's really not going super well for Rudy Giuliani. This has become a pretty sad chapter. But Giuliani apparently was scheduled to appear on Fox and Friends on 9/11, like this past 9/11. And Pete Hegseth, who's one of the hosts of Fox and Friends, called Giuliani the night before to inform him he'd been cut. Fox denies this and says Rudy wasn't scheduled to be on the show. Fox did not deny that Giuliani had been banned. So my reading of this is, as far as Fox and Friends knew, Rudy was scheduled to be on the show. Hegseth called Rudy and said, you're not going to be on anymore. And when Fox News says Rudy wasn't scheduled to be on, all that might mean is Rudy's not allowed on at all, so he couldn't possibly have been scheduled because he's not allowed on the show. But at the show level, Fox and Friends might have been planning or hoping to have Rudy on. It's a very sad chapter in Rudy's political career, a very long chapter. This entire Trump chapter is getting pretty long. Would make for a pretty interesting documentary, a sort of tragic comedy, the farting at the fraud events, the leaking hair dye while lying about the election, like every policy or more substantive related failure is alongside some other type of failure, like the farting or the leaking hair dye or whatever the case may be. They do not want Rudy exposing them to more legal liability on Fox News. I think it's that simple as far as why he hasn't been there. And what Rudy Giuliani's next chapter is anyone's guess. But Rudy apparently banned from Fox News. And the sort of bigger picture story that we've been seeing is there is now this growing piece of the right wing that is too crazy for Fox News. And this applies both to guests and to viewers. So Fox has said no Rudy Giuliani for now, reportedly. There's also a large contingent of Trumpists who say Fox is now on the left. No more Fox. It's Newsmax, it's OAN, it's Steve Bannon's War Room, or whatever the case may be. This is a further radicalization of the right, which we talked about earlier, and I won't spend more time on now, but a very important part of what's going on here. So I've got a couple of pretty horrible COVID-related stories. Sadly, these aren't fun stories. These aren't stories to make fun of people. These are really stories that are pitiable stories, but also just another indictment of the completely backward situation we have in this country with who people, or at least who some people, are willing to trust when it comes to medical advice and the way propaganda spreads and disinformation. So let's start with the first one. New Mexico health officials suspect two people dead from ivermectin poisoning. That's USA Today. Similarly, KOB reporting two New Mexicans have died of ivermectin toxicity per state health officials. State health leaders say more people are taking ivermectin to treat COVID-19. In some cases, it's been deadly. The New Mexico Department of Health said two people in New Mexico have died from ivermectin toxicity. Not much is known about either patient, but one of them was battling a severe case of COVID-19. It's a serious issue. We need to watch it, says Dr. David Scrace, acting secretary of the New Mexico Department of Health. New Mexico health leaders are sounding the alarm on ivermectin. Poison Control said there have been 20 exposures to the drug this year alone, already double the usual amount. We've had cases of seizures, hallucinations, coma. You know, it can be very dangerous if you take a high enough dose. Officials say the majority of the exposures were in the past few weeks, most to treat or prevent COVID. Health experts say the data just isn't there to prove it works. Our medical advisory team has looked at this three times, still does not feel people should be taking it, and of course, the FDA has not yet approved it. Ivermectin is almost exclusively used to treat parasites in horses and cattle, in rare instances, humans. Same drug, different formulation, different dose. If you take too much, you go into a coma, you may have seizures, you may have hallucinations. It's basically a neurological toxin. Recent studies have shown it has some effect on COVID, but at a pretty significant cost. When it was combined with standard therapy, it had lower death rate and progression to severe disease. But in that in vitro study, you needed clearly toxic doses to achieve the effect on virus replication. I think that's an important detail to mention here. We had that call from a biomedical researcher a couple weeks ago who said, you know, you have to understand that when a study says that in vitro, it kills COVID particles, deactivates COVID, whatever term you want to apply there. In vitro and in vivo are two different things, but the relative dose of what you can do in vitro could be completely toxic in humans. And where I continue to go back is it's really strange to me not to take something tested, given to billions, and FDA approved, the Pfizer vaccine, and instead take ivermectin. I just don't get it. Like, even if it's true that it might be slightly effective for COVID, if it's in addition to all the standard stuff, but it can have real side effects, which is dubious, but let's imagine that's the case. Why accept the cost when we have a vaccine that is more effective? And I don't know that we're necessarily going to get an answer to that right now. The USA Today article adding a few other details that I wanted to mention. The confirmation comes weeks after the state suspected one person was fatally poisoned by ivermectin. The antiparasitic drug has not been approved for treatment of viral illnesses such as COVID-19, but has attracted popular advocacy, particularly among skeptics of the vaccines, treatments, and public health measures, such as masking in public, including popular podcaster Joe Rogan. The FDA warned people against taking it. Scrace, the director of New Mexico's Department of Health, has previously expressed concern about pseudoscientific messaging about the drug, which is approved for human and vet use against unrelated conditions. The state's Poison Control Center reported last week calls related to ivermectin tripled compared to 2020, different than the previous report of doubling that I mentioned. This is also an important detail. Veterinary formulations are not approved for human use under any conditions, because the drug is often highly concentrated for animals and the medications include ingredients not approved for human use. So that's ivermectin in New Mexico. Next, look, we have a new one now, hydrogen peroxide vapor. Yes. So we've talked about ivermectin. We've talked about people using iodine, sometimes sold under, I guess it's like the trade name betadine. And now we have to talk about inhaling hydrogen peroxide vapor. An article on health.com titled, "No, Inhaling Hydrogen Peroxide Vapor to Cure COVID Won't Work. Doctors warn, please do not do this." The COVID-19 pandemic has brought questionable treatments. It mentions ivermectin. Others are now reportedly inhaling hydrogen peroxide. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America released a warning this week urging people not to try this dangerous treatment trend that's making the rounds on social media. Some users claim that putting hydrogen peroxide into a nebulizer, that's a breathing machine that turns liquid asthma medication into a mist, and then breathing in the mist will help cure COVID-19. Many social media sites are flagging and yanking videos and claims, but screenshots are still showing up. Someone named Ryan Graney posted, "Friends, our vaccines will no longer be valid on October 20th. What? And ivermectin will reign supreme. They are going to burn their damn lungs off. 3% food-grade hydrogen peroxide in a nebulizer or a small syringe. You can squirt it in your nose. Add saline to it if it's too harsh." The Facebook post from a naturopathic doctor suggests putting hydrogen peroxide in a nebulizer for lung issues. Someone named Dr. Becky Campbell puts, "This is not medical advice, but did you know you can put colloidal silver and even hydrogen peroxide in a nebulizer? It can help your body fight off pathogens systemically and can be very effective." This is another dangerous, unproven idea. And we have a proven, approved vaccine. Okay? The AAFA is practically begging people to pass on this. Do not put hydrogen peroxide into your nebulizer and breathe it in. This is dangerous. It is not a way to prevent nor treat COVID. It is unclear where this originated. Experts agree it's a really bad idea. Look at this. Jamie Allen, PhD Associate Professor of Pharmacology and Toxicology at Michigan State, says, "Hydrogen peroxide is a free radical, meaning it's an unstable atom that can damage cells. If it's inhaled, it goes to the lungs where it can damage cell membranes. It can even get into the cells once the cell membranes are compromised and can damage DNA. If you inhale too much, you can do major damage to your lungs. You can also struggle with breathing normally and may develop fluid in your lungs, a condition known as a pulmonary edema. Amesh Adalja, MD, scholar at Johns Hopkins, says, I'm not even sure why people have stumbled upon this. There's no evidence it can work to treat COVID. It can be dangerous, especially if you have sensitive lungs. Hydrogen peroxide can kill COVID on surfaces, but inhaling it is a different story. This is basically like Trump's hit the body with an injection of disinfectant, right? I mean, it's okay. You might have a surface and something can kill COVID there. So what about putting it inside the body, as he likes to say? Doesn't apply, and it doesn't translate. And again, part of this is just contrarianism. What I mean by that is they say, I don't know what's in the vaccine, so I'm not putting it in my body. It hasn't been studied enough, so I'm not putting it in my body. But then they'll accept unknown, or at least in these contexts, unstudied substances. And really what it comes down to is Biden's recommending the vaccine. Biden's not recommending hydrogen peroxide vapor or ivermectin or betadine, iodine. And it's contrarianism, because they will accept unknown or unstudied substances as long as it's not the one a Democrat is recommending. But this is still the issue of, they want to say, you can't tell me what to do. That's, they claim that the principles are unstudied, don't know what's in it, chemicals, etc. Really, the principle is, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not going to follow the medical advice of public health officials or of doctors. But then random people on Facebook, like this naturopathic doctor with an inhaler, nebulizer, says, hey, here's an idea, not medical advice, but here's an idea of something you can do. And that they seem to gladly be following. This is a crisis of education. This is a crisis of critical thinking. And if you are the type of person who may even have compromised lungs already and would be particularly at risk by nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, really you should be vaccinated, because you're at risk of more serious COVID. That's the bottom line. We've said it a million times. How many more times can I really repeat it? I have a feeling it'll probably be a few more times. All right, we have a voicemail number. That number is 2192 David P. The San Antonio troll is back. If anybody was worried that he wasn't doing well or whatever the case may be, he's fine. He's calling back. The San Antonio troll is known for criticizing me for things I haven't said. Let's take a listen.
Packlin, you have had the same voicemail message for like 10 years now. Time to update. Anyways, Packlin, I'm 100% for a vaccine mandate now. That includes to illegals. David Packlin says, damn it, he got me. The San Antonio troll got me. That's right, Packlin. When you do something like a vaccine mandate in your old holier-than-thou liberalism, okay, you do not foresee the two-way street that is. I hope now everybody is like, yeah, we mandate vaccines no matter where you come from. Let's do it. That means no more illegal, Pac-Man. A lot less votes for Democrats than other fuck you.
Remember, undocumented immigrants don't vote because they're not citizens. There's really no, I mean, what would it mean for undocumented immigrants to vote? Each one would need to know of some registered voter, go to the polling place, and say, hey, I'm John Smith. And then the next person says, hey, I'm Susie whatever. And you'd have to hope you showed up before the real voter. It's a crazy way to try to steal an election. It just wouldn't work. There's no evidence it's even been tried.
Honestly, if that were the case, if Democrats were consistent on this issue, I would probably vote Democrat. Because now you have Democrats like yourself and even Democrat politicians saying, oh, we could take in tens of billions from South and Central America. Just bring all of our unvaccinated. But you guys supposedly care about COVID. But no, let's do the vaccine mandate then. Back with it. Damn it. Got me. It's quite the predicament you got yourself in there, Pac-Man. Good luck getting yourself out of that one. Anyway, take it easy, Pac-Man. Love your show.
Ed, does anybody have even the slightest idea what that caller is talking about? It seems to be a combination of confusion and reacting things that somebody else must have said. It's very common that this guy calls in and attacks me for things I haven't said. On today's bonus show, Texas has now announced an audit of 2020 votes in four counties. What's the point? Trump won Texas. We'll talk about it on the bonus show. Number two, a federal judge has blocked a vaccine mandate for New York City teachers. Why? And what happens now? And number three on the bonus show, what about 3D printing your own vaccine at home? And instead of being a shot into the body, as Trump says, it's a patch. Very interesting new technology that apparently offers an opportunity for even more effective immunization and antibody response. All of those stories and more are on today's bonus show. Get instant access by signing up at joinpacman.com. Coupon code Dystopian Rally. All one word, all lowercase.
Hi, this is Dean from Luna. You're listening to 88.3 FM WRCT in Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh. We love monkeys.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best. The smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a cool song.
You're listening to WRCT Feedback Radio.
Soon, pay toilets will take over the world, and everyone, everywhere will listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
This is Satan. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Tovlin, you're listening to 88.3 WRCT FM, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. This is Danny Glover, and you're listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, rocks.
WRCT Pittsburgh, we won't respect you anymore.
You're listening in at your house, are you listening in at your car? If you want to hear good music, you don't have to go far. 88.3 is the magic number. WRCT in at the Pittsburgh area. Who say so? I say so. Who is me? Maccabee. Selassie.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Music for your inner robot.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hey, this is Marlon Saunders, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Hey, this is Jim from Rusted Root, and you're listening to WRCT 88.3 in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Hey, this is Steve Archer.
And Donna Lynch.
From Ego Likeness, you're listening to WRCT Radio.
Yeah, well, this is Kimon and Marlon, and you're listening to WRCT FM. Keep it locked.
WRCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
We at WRCT Pittsburgh are not condoning the illegal duplication of copyrighted material. But if you happen to own all the tracks we played and would like a copy of them, just FTP to FTP.
Due to a request by computing services, the remainder of this announcement cannot be.
WRCT Pittsburgh, we're always here for you.
I'm from creationist crucifixion!
Arr, I'm not attractive and I'm from Steel Curtain.
Me neither, arr.
WRCT.
Pittsburgh, 88.3, arr.
This is WRCT.
Aha!
This is WRCT.
Aha!
Come on and stay with us a while. Big 900 on your dial. We'll make your day a great big smile. WRCT.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's where things like this go, right down the drain.
Senator John McCain, and I'm from Arizona. But when I'm in Pittsburgh, I always listen to WRCT, one of the finest stations in all of radio, and Carnegie Mellon University is one of the finest academic institutions in our country. Be sure at your next election to vote early and vote often.
Collins from Late Show with David.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Today's verdict brings an end to Robert Kelly's decade-long reign of terror over many vulnerable girls, boys, and young women.
R&B singer R. Kelly is found guilty of being a sexual predator and trafficker after nearly a dozen survivors testified about his abuse of dozens of black women and underage girls for nearly two decades. We'll speak with Dream Hampton, executive producer of the documentary series Surviving R. Kelly, that first helped give a platform to Kelly's accusers. Then we go inside the CIA's secret plans to kill or kidnap Julian Assange.
We found that in the early months of 2017, the CIA mounted a secret all-out war on WikiLeaks that included plans to snatch or abduct the group's founder, Julian Assange, to sow discord among his associates, to monitor their communications, and to steal their electronic devices. There were also discussions inside the CIA about possibly even assassinating him.
And we go to Chicago, where workers at El Milagro Tortilla Plant staged a temporary walkout to protest low pay and abusive working conditions.
All we're doing is demanding our rights as employees of El Milagro. Just as they have rights as employers, we too have rights as workers. I pack 80 tortilla packages per minute. I load a case, put it on a pallet, and come right back. Because if I don't keep up this pace, the tortillas will fall off from the machine and they'll blame me.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Senate Republicans voted unanimously Monday to block a House-approved bill that would fund the federal government and raise the ceiling on the national debt. The vote came just days before a September 30th deadline to avert a government shutdown. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Republicans' actions were threatening to plunge the U.S. into a recession.
Our country is staring down the barrel of two totally Republican-manufactured disasters, a government shutdown and a first-ever default on the national debt. The impact of both would gravely harm every single American in this country.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has notified Congress that unless it acts before mid-October to raise the debt ceiling, the U.S. government will default on its debts. Arizona Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has scheduled to hold a fundraiser today with five business lobbying groups that oppose a massive spending bill containing some of the Biden administration's top legislative priorities. That's according to the New York Times, which reports those in attendance are being asked to write checks for up to $5,800 to Senator Sinema's campaign. She says she opposes the spending bill's price tag of $3.5 trillion. Over 10 years, the legislation would increase taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations in order to expand the social safety net, improve worker rights, and combat the climate crisis. Sinema's support is critical to Democrats' plans to use a budget reconciliation bill to pass the legislation in the evenly divided Senate. Jurors in the federal trial against accused sexual predator and trafficker R. Kelly, a famous R&B singer, found him guilty Monday of charges including racketeering based on sexual exploitation of children, kidnapping, forced labor, and sex trafficking. Nearly a dozen survivors and over 30 other witnesses detailed R. Kelly's pattern of sexual and other abuse against dozens of women and underage girls for nearly two decades. It's a landmark verdict for the Me Too movement. After headlines, we'll speak with Dream Hampton, executive producer of the six-part documentary series Surviving R. Kelly. She broke open the case. The United States reported nearly 2,400 new COVID-19 deaths on Monday, even as hospitalizations continued to decline from